KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a mostly clear sky. It's 23 degrees. We look forward to be mostly sunny and breezy today, a high around 37. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news is brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your trained home comfort specialist dealer. Officials say four workers have been injured in an accident at a Tyson Fresh Meats plant in the central Iowa town of Perry. The incident occurred around 11:40 a.m. on Monday. Two of the workers were flown to the burn center of the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics in Iowa City. Two other workers were treated at the plant. No names have been released. Chief Deputy Adam Infante of the Dallas County Sheriff's Office said the four appeared to have been burned by steam. He said there was no fire, though, at that plant. In Iowa State University, rural sociologists have identified a dozen small towns in Iowa where the quality of life is thriving despite losses to population. Among them is Elkhorn, Hamburg, Pacific Junction, and Sac City. Dave Peters called them shrink-smart towns. He says a high quality of life doesn't depend so much on a strong local economy, but rather a solid social connections, on solid social connections.
People in shrink-smart towns tend to be more frequently involved in community improvement projects, and they were members of a lot more local organizations in the community.
Iowa State has been tracking life in towns where fewer than 10,000 people in each of the state's 99 counties have been since 1994. In these shrink-smart towns, citizens have managed to bridge divides that have been created by economic class, ethnicity, and gender.
People in these towns rated their communities as having a culture of openness and support. So residents said they felt safe in their towns, they felt that they could trust their neighbors, and they felt that the community was supportive of themselves and others.
The shrink-smart towns Peters identifies range in population from 460 in the Mills County town of Pacific Junction to around 2,100 in Sac City. Nine of the towns named by Peters to the list have populations fewer than 1,000. The shrink-smart towns in alphabetical order include Allerton, Bancroft, Correctionville, Elkhorn, Elma, Everly, Grand Mound, Hamburg, Mediapolis, Pacific Junction, Radcliffe, and Sac City. The former chairman of the Winnebago Tribe of Nebraska has been sentenced to probation and community service after pleading guilty to charges related to the misapplication of casino funds. U.S. District Judge Lori Smith Camp on Monday sentenced 63-year-old John Blackhawk to 5 years probation and 150 hours of community service. He must also pay $36,000 in restitution. Blackhawk pleaded guilty in September to theft from an Indian gaming establishment. During 2013 and 2014, Blackhawk took unauthorized disbursements from the Winnevegas Casino and Resort in Sloan, totaling $36,000 in the form of gift certificates. Blackhawk is one of nine former council members accused of conspiracy to steal money from the casino. A slow-speed tractor pursuit early Saturday morning in northwest Iowa was a little more exciting than you might think. According to reports, Jeremy Starkson was arrested on charges that include eluding, theft, and assault after he allegedly stole a tractor. Spencer police saw the machine in the parking lot at around 1:30 a.m. Saturday and tried to make a traffic stop when he took off. Starkson swerved to try and hit law enforcement several times, allegedly, as they tried to deploy stop sticks. Starkson rammed a squad car, which caused the tractor to become disabled and allowed him to be placed under arrest. A colder, snowier winter may be ahead for Iowa and much of the region, as most weather watchers now agree that a La Nina weather pattern has developed. Meteorologist Dennis Toddy, director of the USDA's Midwest Climate Hub based in Ames, said the indications for a La Nina conditions are steady and the pattern may last another 3 months or more.
We have about a 65-ish or so percent chance of it persisting through winter, which is fairly good from a climate perspective. The expectations are typical La Nina conditions are what are reflected in the outlooks. The Northern Plains has a little better chance of being colder than average and potential for some wetter than average conditions.
A La Nina occurs when the Pacific Ocean temperatures trend below normal for several months. Toddy says this La Nina pattern appears to be only moderate in force.
This is not going to be a really strong La Nina, so our outlooks don't reflect a real strength specifically, but that's at least when we have a La Nina, we have a little better chance of being able to say what we're seeing going through the wintertime.
This weather pattern usually brings certain conditions, namely more colder temperatures and more snow than usual.
If you like snow, we have a little better chance for having some snow on the ground. But that there's not, I would say there's not a ton of confidence behind this that it's going to be exactly like this. But with the La Nina, again, we have a little better chance of saying that it will be like this.
And he adds that the expectation is that the La Nina will fade rather quickly next spring. State climatologist Harry Hilliker says the month of November ended up dry and ended up to be a dry one in all aspects of weather records.
Every reporting point was less precipitation than usual, especially the further northwest and west that you get in the state. Some areas, especially northwestern Iowa, didn't have any rain whatsoever during the month of November. Places like Holstein and Ida County, Washita and Cherokee County, whopping zero for the monthly total.
Hilliker says it was just the eighth month in 131 years of records where the state averaged just a trace of snow.
Maquoketa had actually the most snow measured during the month, just 0.3 inches was all, and most areas didn't have any accumulation at all throughout the month, but statewide average, just a trace of snow, and typically to get 3 to 4 inches of snow during the month of November.
And he says the drier and warmer conditions were part of the reason for the lack of snow.
Especially the second half of the month being unusually warm, where it really wasn't cold enough for snow very often, and the second half of the month also very, very dry. We really didn't have much of any precipitation after the 18th of November, so quite a dry finish to what was otherwise a pretty dry month anyway.
Hilliker says it was one of the driest months in a decade.
Overall, a state average of 4,307 inches of moisture for the month, which is about 20% of what's usual, and actually our driest of any calendar month going back to November of 2007.
Last November was the second warmest on record, but he says that things started out cold before finishing off with record warmth.
Statewide average being 36.2 degrees, or just 0.4 of a degree below normal. So in other words, the colder first half just barely canceling out the warmer second half of the month. But overall, things kind of backwards there. You usually expect, beginning of November to be much warmer than the end, but this year is the other way around.
And he says one day stood out for its warmth.
The most unusual day was day after Thanksgiving on the 24th, where most of Iowa set daily record high temperatures that day in the upper 60s to lower 70s, with Iowa City being the hot spot of that day and for the month, where it got to 74 degrees there.
Hilliker says you're probably noticing your heating bills for the month were up quite a bit from last year as the temperatures returned to normal after the record warmth of last month. And Iowa Secretary of State says he's sending thousands of Iowans new state-issued voter ID cards they'll need at the polls beginning next year. As the start of Iowa's controversial new voter ID law, approved by the Republican-controlled legislature and signed into law by Governor Terry Brunstad, Secretary of State Paul Pate, a Republican, issued a recorded statement Monday saying that the newly designed state-issued cards are going out to 123,000 Iowans.
It should be easy to vote, but hard to cheat. And that's what this new law ensures. We are taking the unprecedented step of mailing free voter ID cards automatically to every registered voter who does not already have an Iowa driver's license or a non-driver's ID.
Pate says the cards will be sent out starting this week.
I encourage them to be on the lookout for their voter ID cards in the mail. And when they receive their card, open it, sign it, and keep it. It's that easy.
Anyone who loses their new voter ID card will need to contact their county auditor. Critics say the law will make it harder to vote and voter fraud is rare. A Secretary of State spokesman says the mailing will be followed up with public information campaigns with both supporters and opponents of the new law. The news brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.